This is tape number eight of a 12-tape series, the topic of which is humidity. The message sermon was given by Pastor Grace Chang in Mandarin Chinese.
So since our sister in our church, Lily, she has something to share with, she wanted me to give a few minutes to her. So here, let's give the time to Lily.
Thank the Lord. Also, I want to thank Pastor Chang, give me some time to come here because I really have something in my heart, has been for a few days, I want to share with you people. And today when I just come into this tonight's meeting, the very first song is I Want to Praise the Lord from the Bottom of My Heart. This song really touched my heart because I remembered when I just a year or two back when I suffered a deep depression, that was the song Martina taught me to sing to fight the depression in my heart. Today, what I want to talk about, to talk with you people, is remember last week when Pastor Chang used one example in her message, which is, as you all know, we live together in Martina's house, and we help out Martina. We serve that kind of assistance for her, and she really helped me a great deal. She is one of the best friend you can ever expect to have. And the past week in our family neighborhood cell group, when we get it together, one person just asked me, said, really? Is that really what happened? Just like Pastor John said, and that's really, really interesting. That's really funny, though. And because of that, it really hurts me to hear something like that. But since we were in the middle of a Bible study group, I did not have the time to explain, to go into details of what really happened to this person. So that really touched my heart. I also felt I hurt for Martina. So I really want to show my appreciation for all Martina has done for me. And I want to stand up here to speak something in her behalf, to explain whatever misunderstanding might have happened since Pastor Chang last time talked. As you all know, since Martina just became a full-time servant, she has been so faithful, she has been so busy with the work of the church. That particular day, Martina was upstairs typing up the service program. And she just finished typing the service, the program, the service program. She was so busy. So at the time, I was downstairs, and so she just yelled out because she was so busy. She yelled out, Lily, could you just help me out? Could you have this program, the service program, just copied? I was so happy. I jumped at the occasion. So, of course, I just went upstairs and grabbed the whole thing. But I want you to know one thing. This is the only time Martina ever just shouted her request because she was so busy. While I just went downstairs to continue to do the copying, she was still typing on the computer upstairs. Because I did that one simple thing for her, and she respect me for that. And she not only that, she just even talked to Pastor Chang about it. And that made me to respect her also, because it's such a minute thing, but she not only remembered it, she just respected it, she appreciated it. About 1995 to 97, and for 2 years, I suffered this very bad depression. And oftentimes, I was exhausted. I was lying on the bed. I could not do anything. I always felt so tired. I was even sick of food. A lot of food I could not even eat. And because these food made me nauseous, or after I eat those food, I need to go to the bathroom very quickly, all that. And so I really suffered miserably and greatly. But in those worst moments, Martina was one who just came to me. She laid her hands on me, and she gave me a word of encouragement. And sometimes I felt so tired, I didn't even want to go to the church. I didn't even want to go to the meetings. Then Martina said to me, I know you are tired, but you need to go. You have to go. That's the time you will be encouraged. That's the time you will be strengthened, even if you cannot go, if you are even you are so exhausted, you even need to, you have to crawl on four, you still need to crawl to the church, and that's the place you will be helped. We are fighting the spiritual warfare. Yes, sometimes when you come home from work, from your office, I can tell right away you are defeated, you are beaten up, and Lily, it's okay. It happens all the time. And even today, you are defeated. So what? We still have a tomorrow. Tomorrow is in the hands of God. So let's pray to God. We still have tomorrow. Let's rest for the night, but we have tomorrow. Let's face the tomorrow in the faith of the Lord. And not only that, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning, we have a morning devotional time, which is the three girls gather together. No matter how late and how tired Martina was the night before, but every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning, she got up, and at the right time, the three of us, we just got together. We just shared the love of the Lord. We spent the time together for devotion. And these are the times very precious to me, because Martina really supported me, really encouraged me, really charged me on. So I really need to thank the Lord for such a wonderful friend, for such a wonderful Christian friend. So today I want to stand up to speak to you. I do not want any misunderstanding brewing up or spreading out in the congregation, because what she has done to me, what kind of some graces she has shown me is not seen by you people, is not known by you people. Even nowadays, she often comes to me and to encourage me, give me a hug, give me a few words of encouragement. And whenever I have some bad feelings, I feel sad, feel low, feel down, and she is the one who comes to me to bring me up, to encourage me, to just boost my spirit up. So I really felt I had been greatly helped and assisted by this great Christian lady, because between I and her, the two of us, we can really talk whatever we want. We can open our heart. So I just want to speak this to you. I want to let you people know, so there will not be any misunderstanding. This is a great, great, loving Christian lady. I thank God. I also thank Pastor John for giving me this time. So Pastor John's message will continue from here on. Well, it seems I'm the one who is going to shoulder all the blame, because I said something which caused all this to happen. And from here, we can also see the fact is inner life is something is so practical. You and I, we can also exercise. We can also start to practice in our life. We can also witness here within these three sisters what kind of trust, what kind of a loving relationship they have between each other. Whenever one person hurt the other is wrongfully just criticized or accused by anybody, this one will jump up to speak in the other person's behalf. What a loving relationship we all see here. Oftentimes when people live together, they share the same roof. Normally they will have problems, they will have arguments, all that. And normally the living together arrangement won't last, and they want to just go their separate ways. And Lily told me, because last Friday somebody just asked her about it. So she just cried, because she felt very bad for Martina. Because the whole picture, the whole impression was so wrong. And I should take the responsibility. Being a pastor, I really should be responsible for this. But actually, I said what I really heard, because that's exactly what I said last time, was exactly what Martina told me. And so I did not know the whole thing. So we can see here, these sisters, they have such a good relationship and a warm relationship among them. So since last Friday, Lily has been feeling very bad, and she really wanted to have a chance to have this whole thing corrected. I also remember Martina has been telling me all the time is the sisters in the church, they are so lovely. Sometimes they do one thing, one small thing for me. I just thank them, and then you know what? They respond, no, don't thank me, because it's my honor. It's my privilege, can help you out in some way, can help out with the things around here. So this also shows me, it also gives me great comfort that Christians in our church are really practicing the inner life. They really try to exercise the qualities, the heavenly qualities in their life. So let's come back to the topic. When we talk about the topic of the humility, the quality of the humility will be manifested, will be disclosed in different aspects of our Christian lives. Then what are the aspects we have talked about? Remember, first we talked that he will submit himself into the mighty hands of God, just like God, King David, just like King David. King David prayed for his young son by Bathsheba, but finally God took him away. But remember what he behaved, what he reacted. He just got up and he cleaned himself up and he just bathed and then he started to eat. So that's a picture of humility. He humbled himself before the Lord. So another aspect is a person, a humble person, who is not going to get into the arguments, who is not going to be contentious, who is not going to be argumentative. And a humble person will not show the spirit of strife. Another thing, thirdly, remember we just talked last time, is a humble person is not someone who jumps quickly to criticize, who jumps very quickly to pass on judgment onto other people. So today we want to talk about another aspect, another area which will be manifested. Let's look turn the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first three verses. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in a weakness and fear and with much trembling. Look at the verse. It's very important. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We all know Paul is a very capable man, very talented man, and a very learned man. We all know he is very good with words, both verbally and written words. We all know he had many talents. What did he say? He said, "For I resolved to know nothing before you while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Not only that, he said, "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." We know, actually what we know from the Bible, Paul is just the opposite. He is a very strong man, he is spiritually very strong, and he is full of assurance and certainty. He is a very self-confident man. And we all know before he just chased after Christians and put them in jail. And he is a very courageous man also. But here, what did he say? He said, "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." But we all know he is the opposite. What he really is the opposite. Then why? Why did he say all this? Because Paul is a humble person. Do you like a person like that? A person is very weak, a person is always fearful, a person is always trembling with fear, all that. You like that kind of person? Probably not. But look at, finally he says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." So here what he is saying, he did not rely on his knowledge. He did not rely on his eloquence. All he relied on is the power of God, power of Jesus. That's what he relied on. He really set a good example before you and me. But on the opposite, if a proud person is going to rely on himself, on his capability, on his talents, on his eloquence, all that, and they want to use their methodology, laid out everything, how to convince people, how to direct people, how to be manipulative so that people will be led the way they wanted them to be. Paul said, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Then when is God's power demonstrated? When is his power just manifested? That's when we are humble. When we humble ourselves before him, that's the time, that's the place his power will be revealed. You know what people told me? The Chinese church in North America are full of problems, full of strife. Why? It's so strange, because in the Chinese churches in North America, we have the highest percentage of masters and PhDs. And on the other side, for those in churches in very remote area, in just uncivilized areas, these churches are very nice churches. People have a very warm, loving relationship. But God's power to be revealed in North American Chinese churches, it's a tough thing. I was told by many ministers, it's a tough thing. And ministers all told me, it's very hard to be a minister in North America Chinese ethnic churches. Well, years back when I came to Los Angeles, and people told me in those days, there are about 100 ministers. They were just working in restaurants, all that. They were not doing their ministry work. Why? Because it's very difficult for them. So in North America, for pastor to be successful with his congregation, you need to educate yourself. You need to just improve yourself in terms of all sorts of knowledges and common senses so you can be eloquent, so you can be convincing on the podium. So it's your knowledge, it's your training, it's your equipment that you rely on to minister. Not like Paul said here. Paul just relies on God's power. So, brothers and sisters, one important thing. All the natural things, natural gifts, natural training, education we have often is the stumbling block in the way that God wants to work in our heart. He is in the way. God cannot work in our heart. God cannot develop our spiritual life. God cannot continue to work in our spiritual life also, because we have those natural things in the way. So nowadays, the end time churches, it's very seldom and almost it's not likely these churches will rely on the power of God. Even though it's a term in the church we talk about, even though it's a term you and I, we are all familiar with, but few of us, we put into practice, we really rely on the power of God. We all rely on our training, on our knowledge, on our education, on our natural abilities and gifts. Sometimes I heard when people say, well, now more and more mainland Chinese are coming into the U.S., we need to preach the gospel to them. But these people, when mainland Chinese people, only the best, only the top people, they are coming to, they are so smart, so intellectual. We really need to be equipped. We really need to come to them with a lot of knowledge background so we can be convincing, we can be persuasive. But I don't think so. I don't think this is going to work, though. Often, if you approach them with this kind of attitude and mentality, you ended up in arguments. It can be very useless, and it's a waste of time. You argue so much, you ended up nowhere. So, I personally don't think this is the way to go, and this is the way you preach the gospel. There is this minister who has a very good background in education field, and he really knows a lot about engineering. And once he was invited to lead this evangelistic meeting, it is a three-day meeting. So he just spoke quite a few times, but he told me personally, by the end of the service, not even one person raised his hand to commit his life to the Lord. Not one hand was raised. Another example, I remember a while back, I was invited by Lin Liang Tang, another church in Torrance. That was a 5-day conference, and primarily it's a revival for the Christians. But the very last meeting, it is evangelistical. They wanted me to lead, which to speak to the non-Christians. And it's over there. I just met with the famous scholar and Christian speaker, Yuan Ren Zili. And after the whole conference is finished, Yuan Zimin just expressed his surprise to me. He said, for him, it's the first time he ever discovered revival meeting and the evangelistic meeting can be combined, can be done in the same place and same time. For him, it's the first time he realized that this fact. And my answer is yes, of course you can do it. If we concentrate on the message of a kingdom of heaven, on the life of Jesus, and of the spiritual well-being of inner life, when we concentrate on these people, then we can do it. We can do it because the genuine life, the life of Christ, is not only needed by Christians, by non-Christians as well. So I think that the issue here, the important thing here is that we need to come before the Lord to rely on the power of God. There's another sister. There's this sister. She has been a Christian for only 5 years, but she was without church for only about 1 year. Then she was on a mission trip to mainland China. It was a short, maybe a few weeks. So God gave her this burden to send her on this short mission trip to the mainland China. So our church also supported her, helped her, and we encouraged her to go. But she went to mainland China all by herself. And later on, when this whole thing was over, and the news came to us that when the mainland Chinese Christians, when they saw this sister is a small person, this sister also has a soft voice, she did not even look like a minister, because she is not very convincing, not very eloquent. And she spoke 3 times a day, and it was a continuous for a few weeks. But miraculously, God really used this young sister. So she started all these services. She even needed to teach them all these songs they sing. But when she started to preach, when she started to speak, and the very first morning, one person had a foot problem, and that foot problem was cured, was miraculously healed. So God really used this young Christian lady. Because why? Because she relied on the power of God. She was not fluent. She was not eloquent. She was kind of a fearful and apprehensive. So she humbled herself and relied on the power of God. She prayed so the Holy Spirit will take over. The Holy Spirit will work through the people in there. So people, more and more people start to cry. Tears just wells up in the eyes of the congregation. So some of the ministers, they were despaired because the happenings in their own churches, they were about to quit the service field. They just repented. They changed their mind because their heart was touched by the Lord. They also felt the great power of the Holy Spirit. So this is another example tells you and me we need to humble ourselves and completely rely on the power of God. So that's why in the Songs of Solomon, it also says in the women over there, they just rely on their male companion. They rely on the good one. So no matter what kind of service, whether you are presiding, you are leading the service, or you are leading the sing and the songs, or you are giving the speeches, or you are just handing out tracts, or you are just an usher in the church, it doesn't matter. Regardless of what kind of job, what kind of service you are involved in at the moment, no matter it's a big issue or small issue, it is an important thing or a seemingly unimportant thing. The issue here is you need to rely on God all the time. You need to look up to Him all the time. You need to pray to Him constantly. And this is a person with a spirit of humility.
I know a lady Christian who came from Philippines. She started to drive when she was very young back in Philippines. So by the time when she came to the States, she was in her maybe early 20s. She was an expert driver, and she was so experienced in driving. But you know what? Do you believe it? It took her 3 road tests to pass it. And another truck driver, it took him 7 road tests to pass it. You know why? Because they are so good at it. They are so experienced. Driving is their second nature. But they're in their so-called second nature, there are so many habits, so many ways they are driving. It's against the traffic laws of the United States. And it's hard for them to change because it's so natural to them. So let me emphasize one more thing. A lot of things, it seems so natural to us, whatever we do, whatever we behave, the ways, oftentimes it's against the laws of heaven, against the laws of God. It's the same thing also for the taxi drivers from Taiwan. Normally, it's quite common for them to take a few road tests before they can pass. Because back in Taiwan, they just are cutting people. They zigzag, they snake through the highway. And that's the kind of a bad driving habit. It's widely accepted in Taiwan, but not in the U.S. So it's the same thing with the Christians. So many things, it feels so natural. So many ways we do things, so many ways we think, and it's against the law of the heaven. That's why the Bible said Jesus is opposing those who have a spirit of pride, but Jesus helps those who humble themselves before Him. So in California, I just witnessed more than a few. These elderly people, they are in their mid to late 50s. They came to here, then they had a problem with the English language. They are so fearful of this thing. But normally when they go through those road tests in driving lessons, and normally they only just go there once and they pass the test, and that's it. So you and I need to come before God to rely on Him, to look up to Him all the time. Another example is when we need to go to somewhere, for some people they don't have a habit to look up the maps. They don't think they think they don't need it. They think, well, I'm so good with the roads, I know my way around, I don't need that. So because of that kind of attitude, when they go to a place they have never been, but they were so confident, and they just went over there, but they ended up get lost, and they wasted a lot of time. Brothers and sisters, don't think I'm saying this. I'm just directing this to you individually. I'm not. I don't know anything about you personally. But what I'm saying, this is a very common thing happening for all people. Because for most people, when they think, well, I know around the ways, I don't need a map, or I just need to go. But when this happens, when this person goes, and it's so often they get lost, so often, so easy to get lost without looking up map. And I'm not a very capable person, and I know myself very well, so I need to rely on God all the time. I remember the one time Mrs. Stone stayed in a community hospital. I wanted to go over there, so I called her husband. Her husband just told me how to go there, give me the directions. But when he described the direction, one thing he said, I'm not so sure. It may be the second or maybe the third stoplight. When you see that light, you need to make a turn this and that way. And because he said that, so I thought, well, for me, I better look up the map. So I still went back and I looked up the map. I made sure all the ways, all the roads, all the turns, all the every detail before I just left the house to go. And so after I looked up map and I made sure everything is clear, I just left my house. I reached the hospital with no error, no mistake, no wrong turns made.
So particularly for those directions, those places you have never been to, you need to be more careful. Then, for inner life, this is the roadway, this is the pathway few people have been ever on. It's the same thing. We need to humble ourselves. Yes, maybe along the Christian history, there are a few people, they just treaded on it. They walked very far with the Lord and together with the Lord. But for most Christians, we have not. We have not. It's a new road for us. It's a new direction for us. We need to be very careful. So do not just come to the meetings and listen to my sermons, then go home and say, okay, I know, because this isn't just my pastor said. Hey, you look at the Bible. When I quote some Bible messages, please write that on a paper. When you go home, you look up the Bible and see for yourself. It is really the heart of God. It's really the will of God. It's really the plan of God for us to walk this path of inner life. This is something God wanted you and I to get ourselves into. Otherwise, if you do not look at the Bible yourself, it's just like a spiritual map. If you do not look up that, then you just hear what I say here on the podium. Then when you go home, you say, oh, I know all these things. But later on, when other people talk to you, when other Christians say something different, then you start to change. You start to feel uncertain. You start to get lost, just like you are lost in the directions, like you are lost in the places you have never been. So be careful, be watchful, Christian. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, to look up to God all the time. And it seems, another thing I want to bring up is, it seems our nature, we want to rely on our experiences, our life's experiences or our prior experiences. Pastor Wu is someone who is after the quality of humility all his life. One time when he was in some specific suffering, so he just went to another elderly servant of God. He just consulted him, and that elderly servant's answer to him was, pray for humility. Pray for humility to God and before God. So he kind of a little bit surprised, but he went back and he started to pray. After about 1 month's time, he prayed for the quality of humility. He went back again to the elderly servant. The elderly servant, well, from what I can see, you just had very, very little progress in that area. You need to go back home and continue to pray for humility. So that really taught Pastor Wu a very deep lesson. So he went back to continue to pray for that. So that became his life's tradition. His life's mission is to pray for humility, this heavenly quality to be grown in him. So when later on, many, many years later, Pastor Wu went to Taiwan, then Sister Claire Young just asked him, quite often Sister Young approached him to ask for assistance, to ask for recommendations, suggestions, and ideas. But most of the time, the answer she got from Pastor Wu is, well, don't ask me so many questions. The best thing I can do is pray for you. Pray for you personally. Pray for your job. Pray for your mission. Pray for your work for the Lord. But for a few times, he was about to give her some suggestions and recommendations. All of a sudden, he stopped. He said, no. I'm going to pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for your work for the Lord. I would guess he was stopped by the Holy Spirit. So not only once, for quite a few times. Sister Claire Young just approached him. I know, since you have been serving the Lord for so many years, you are so experienced, you have so many things you can share with me, you can help me by telling me, by guiding me to do this and that. But Pastor Wu answered, yes, it's true. God led me this way and that way, and he has led me so many, many times. He has never failed me. But you and I are two different people. What he did for me is not necessarily he will be doing the same thing for you. You really need to pray to God yourself. You really need to come to the Lord yourself. You really need to look up to him yourself. So he thinks God has a unique and a separate different ways for different people. So whatever God has done for him, not necessarily that's going to be repeated with other people, with other people's service. Yes, he is very much experienced. He is very seasoned servant. So this is really a good example for you and I to learn. So oftentimes we just behave, we react just the opposite. Oftentimes when we are just involved with some kind of service, we are so stubborn, we want people to follow us because we think we are experienced, we have seen this happening before, we have known this, we have heard this before. So if we want to do this, we have to do this way and that way. We do not want to change, we do not let other people change it. So if people want to change it, if people want to do it a different way, then we will say, okay, I do not want to be involved with this thing. You guys go ahead and do it. I want to be out. So here we do not have a listening ear. When people tell us to do something differently, we do not want to do it. Not only that, we do not even want to listen to their recommendation, their new ways. When I go to other churches, when I lead those meetings, if these churches, they have never heard about the Holy Spirit, they have never heard the power of the Holy Spirit, it's so easy to get them started, to get them jump started, to kick them off, to launch this whole thing. So these people can, it's so easy to help them to be anointed, to call down the power of the Holy Spirit. But for the other churches, for example, they have heard so much about it. And maybe they have read about the books of the Holy Spirit, anointing, all that. Then it's a different scenario. Despite the fact that the Christians in these churches, they do not have first-hand experiences, but they have read so many books, they have heard about it. Theoretically, they have a presupposition. So they think, well, in this particular aspect, we experienced this, we experienced that. So it's very hard for them to accept any new ideas or new ways. So that's why often the first wave of revival oftentimes become the stumbling block of the second wave of revival. Why? Because people, they have this presupposition that, okay, what happened in such and such a time? So this time around, it should be exactly the same thing. But don't forget, our God is omniscient God. Our God is almighty great God. He can do things in very, very different ways. So we really need to have an open heart to God, to His ways, to His ideas. Then God can do new things in us. He can do new things on us and through us. So do not be stubborn. Stubborn is our enemy, should be our enemy. Do not rely on our previous experiences. We do not have this attitude, I do not want to change, I think this is the right way, it has to be this way, I do not want to change, I do not let any other one to change it. So Christians, we need to be careful on this. We need to be very careful. If we continue to take this attitude, we will be really missing out on many, many of God's graces and blessings. That's the way Bible teaches us. May our wisdom become foolishness, so we can ultimately become wise again. We can be genuinely wise because we are so proud. We are too proud because we have so much experiences, we have so much training, all that. We have enough knowledge, or we have a lot of experiences of failure. So we will say, hey, don't do this. If you do this, you are guaranteed of a failure. No, not necessarily. If this is the guidance of the Lord, then the outcome will not necessarily be failure. Oftentimes when you failed, do this thing, and that person do the exact same thing, same way, but he succeeded. What's the difference? The difference may be, it might be, different motives, because your motives is not good, is not pleasing in the sight of the Lord. That person's motive is loved by the Lord. So a humble person is a person who can come before the Lord to empty himself. So he can forget about whatever happened before and keep himself an empty vessel and just open himself to the future. Sister Yang grew up in a very devout Christian family. When she was 26 years old, she went to mainland China. She served in mainland China for more than 2 decades. Then later on, she moved to Taiwan. She continued her service for the Lord for over another 3 more decades. When she was very advanced in age, she said, "Every Sunday service, every sermon is such a tough task for me, even though I have been a servant for the Lord for so many years." So I really understood what she meant by saying that every sermon is a tough task for her. So I can really feel what she feels. I remember for in the life, I just gave the same topic in Los Angeles. So that now, with our own churches, I'm giving the same kind of series of sermons. Can I rely on my previous experiences? No. Reality taught me I could not do it. I cannot do it. I still remember when I just were giving those sermons back in Los Angeles. And brothers and sisters in the church, they helped me. They just condensed my sermons. They gave me this outline. And they did a wonderful job. So can I use these outlines? No. But I did. Tell you what. I did use it 2 times. I just brought these outlines with me, so I came up to the podium, I used the outline, but right after service, a few co-workers came up to me, they said, "Well, today what you just said sounds so different, and Pastor, you should not use your outline, and that thing certainly is not helping." So I like these co-workers so much because we were always open. I just encourage them to tell me what they feel about my sermons so they can make me learn more. So they just told me not to use it. Since then, I have never used it. Now they still do their same wonderful job by just condensing my sermons to outlines. But these outlines are just for the record to keep. I never use these records again. So that's why when I spoke in Los Angeles on the topic of humility, I finished in 4 sermons. But now we are in the same topic. We are still talking about the topic of humility. But how many so far? I'm not done yet. But so far, I'm doing the 8th session. It's already 8th. Why? Because it's different. I need to humble myself. I rely on the power of God. I just made myself available for God to lead me. So God so far let me for 8 sessions. I'm doing 8 sessions, and we are not done yet. So we need to deeply rely on Him. We need to completely rely on the power of God. A while back, a seminary in Los Angeles, they invited me to give them a crash course, a condensed course of inner life. And I'm still preparing. I haven't done that yet. I'm about to do it. And it's in the coming sure future. And I still feel kind of unsure of myself. I feel so uncertain. You know why? This is not bad. Let me tell you, it's not bad at all, because if I have this feeling, then I can rely on God all the time, and every single day I rely on Him. So it's important. Let's look at the example of Jesus Himself. He is the one who relies on the Father, God Himself, all the day. Same is the situation with Paul. Paul relies on Jesus all the time. So that's why Paul said, both Paul and Jesus, they use the same word. No, when they talk about himself, they use the word no or not. They use no or not so many. Paul said, "It's no longer me, but Jesus lives me." Jesus said the same thing. "When I teach you, it's not my teaching, it's my Father's." Jesus also said, "I did not do anything by me. I did all things by my Father, by the guidance of my Father." So Jesus sets an example of humility. So when Jesus answered the questions, if it's not permitted by God, He did not answer. He said, "I did not come into this world by myself, because my Father sent me. I'm not after the glory for myself, but the glory of my Father. So what you heard is not my word. These are the words from my Father." So what Jesus, in essence, He's saying, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. That's what Jesus was actually saying. This is the example Jesus set before the world. That's why Jesus said, and Jesus himself set an example. He just really lived a life which is a branch of the vine which is attached to the root. So Jesus said, without my Father, I can do nothing. Without the permission from my Father, I can do nothing. But oftentimes, we are not like him. We are just the opposite. Often, in our heart, we have this attitude, oh yeah, this thing I can do, it's a piece of cake, it's no problem. I think I can do it. Don't worry about it. Just let me handle it. I can handle it. This is a spirit of pride. And this is a good test. What kind of attitude we have toward a thing, no matter it's big or small, the attitude tells us what kind of a spirit we have inside us. Same thing happened to Paul. One time when people want to just beat him up, he said, I'm a citizen of Roman Empire. How can you do that to me? So people stopped beating him. Then another time when people flogged him, he did not say anything. He was brutally flogged. Not only he was thrown into the prison, but because of that. You know what happened? What came out of that? When he was flogged, when he was thrown into prison, because of that, the warden of that prison, the whole family was saved. God has a wonderful purpose behind all this. So Paul sets us another example. In both situations, he did very differently. Why? Because he humbled himself before God. He did everything according to the will of God, not by his own will, but by God's will. So Paul is really a humble Christian before the Lord. He has this attitude, I did not dare say anything. I did not dare do anything. Lord, if you want me to do it, I do it. If you want me to say, I say. So when we talk about the spirit of the humility, we can be very careful. If we are careful enough, we can really observe ourselves from day-to-day situations. For those small things, just check our attitude. Check what are the thoughts in our heart. Do we really have a humble heart before the Lord? Or we're so confident, we are so self-assured, we think, oh, we can do this, we can do that, we can handle this, we can handle that, so on and so forth. Remember Jesus said, when you are just brought before the magistrates, don't worry about what you need to say. Don't worry about it, because the Holy Spirit will help you. God will help you. Remember another time Jesus said, if the two of you, servants of God, when you go out, don't carry two coats, don't carry too much money, don't carry two pair of sandals, all that, remember that? Jesus actually, in essence, he is teaching us not to be prepared in every detail. What I'm saying is this, I'm not against the planning for your life, but the planning itself should be under the guidance of the Lord, should also be carried in the attitude of humility, of a humbleness before God. But Jesus Christ, he himself is Son of God. He just lived this example for us. Another passage of the Bible I want to bring you to attention to is 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting from verse maybe 40-41. I'm not going to read this passage, because this is a story about a fight between the young David and the giant Goliath. So we are all familiar with the story, so I'm not going to read this. I just want to bring out a few things. Look at the passages. I want to pinpoint a few things. You and I all know Goliath, this giant, who is a very proud, very arrogant man. He has he depends on his height, depends on his strong muscles, and depends upon his valor, depends upon his powerful weapons. But look at this picture. On the other end, he is faced with this young David. David is just a young boy, very handsome young boy. So he just started cursing David. He curses David. Because the things he relies on, David has nothing. So in Goliath's opinion, this got to be a joke. Are you kidding me? You want to find me? Not only David is small, young, handsome, just a boy, he did not even bring a usable weapon. But he also noticed there's something about David that's different. Something that's simply different about this young David. Why? Look,
David says something like this: "You come against me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, cut off your head." So this is David. From David's words, we can tell David has this spirit of humility. He is the person who relies completely on God. He just ignores his small stature, his small physique. He is lacking of any useful weapons. He relies on the power of God. So these are two contrasting pictures we can see. One is an arrogant, self-reliant person. Another is a seemingly weak, small person, but who relies on the power of God. Here is a humble person, just draws on the power of God. So this person, we all know the ultimate outcome of this fight. David is the victor. So Christian brothers and sisters, do not rely on our words. Do not rely on our education, on our eloquence, on our convincing abilities, all that. It's not because our words that convince people, that change people's mind. No, you and I cannot do that. The real power is the power of the Spirit. The real work is done by the power of the Spirit. When we are hurt, when we are wronged by other people's words, we want to confront other people, we want to explain, we want to argue, we want to fight back, all that. This is just, we just try to fight the fight by ourselves. But if you have the faith in the Lord, you rely on God, you leave it up to God, you look up to Him, let Him take care of the business. And He will work in your behalf. He will work for you. Not only that, He will also work through you. So God really used a very simple way. Used a small piece of rock that could kill that giant. And it seems in the eyes of the giant, David's weapon is very primitive. But this is the miraculous way of God, how He works. So you and I, fellow Christian brothers, we need to come before the Lord with a humble heart. That's the important thing. So God will work His wonders in the times we never expected, in the ways we never dreamed about. He will work wonders in the lives of yours and mine. So when we look at these things, when we think about these things, humility is not weakness. So if you can humble yourself before the Lord, God Himself will become your power. God's wisdom become your wisdom. When you let go, of the things you just hold on very tightly. You let go and let God take control. Then the Lamb of God will become your power. The Lamb of God will become your life, will become your strength and your wisdom. So the key here, the trick is here for you and I to humble ourselves before our Almighty God. So let's pray our God so He will help us, give us a heart of humility, give us a humble heart and a simple heart so we can come before Him, we can depend on Him, we can rely on Him, we can completely trust Him. I'm very comforted, I know. Some Christians in our church, they have started praying for this heavenly quality already. They are not only praying, they also exercise very diligently. They try to stay away from the spirit of pride and spirit of strife. They try to stay away from argumentative situations. They try to live a life which is pleasing the Lord. And they also start to pray not only for them, for the brothers and sisters in the church, and they pray for this heart of humility so they can always come before the Lord with a humble heart, with a fearful heart. When we're talking about fear the Lord, we are not talking about just you are shivering before the Lord every moment of life. We are talking about fearful of the Lord is we should come before the Lord with a full realization. I'm nobody. I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, I have nothing. Without your power, without your presence, without your leadership and guidance, I can do nothing. I can accomplish nothing. I can achieve nothing. I'm nobody. This is fearful attitude before the Lord. This is a spirit of humility before God. So it's very important for you and I, for you and me. We need to rely on God in everything, no matter it's big or small. Let's pray to God so He will help us to give us this spirit of humility. Let's sing the song of humility before our Lord. Here ends the message of Pastor John.